You're a
Nah, nah.
fool. Damn it.
Nah, nah.
You made me disrupt how I do things for tomfoolery. Now I have to reorganize things. And I know we were recording. Golly. Why do you do this to me?
I was like, oh, I love him. I'm sorry.
Why do you do these things? Hi, and welcome to another episode of Black Girl Charmed. Yeah, man, you know. I'm your co-host, Ray, joined by my co-host,
Janelle.
Ow! Oh, man.
How are you on this lovely evening?
I'm all right. You know, it's like, this week is a rent check, and, you know what that feels like.
I know what that feels like.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know what that feels like.
It's like, all right, we gonna keep it bougie, but on a budget.
We gonna make it through.
We gonna stretch mm-hmm. these coins.
I know. That first paycheck hit, you'd be like, damn. Like, thank you.
It's like... It's three people I gotta pay in the first week of every month. And it's just like, damn.
I feel like that's not that bad though. I got people. I got peoples. Everybody.
Well, we're not talking about you know. This is me appealing to like the black financial people. I need like a financial analyst to help me maximize my coins, because you know what? I don't know if it's me or New York, and I need to figure this
out.
It's
New York. It's New York. I keep telling you it's New York.
No, like, I know it's New York, but how much is, like, is it, like, New York 1,000%, or is it, like, New York 90%, and the 10% is, like, if you made smarter choices, you'd be all right.
Well, I mean, obviously, if you make smarter choices, you would be better. But like YOLO, right?
You know, I was talking to Joe the other day about like, I want to be an adult so bad, but I just see real life examples of people winging it and succeeding. And it's like, why do I have to be prepared? Why do I have to like have this well thought out plan and scrimp and to like scratch to survive? Why can't I just wing it like everybody the fuck else? And
I mean, just have like a general plan and have like general ideas of how you're going to get there and then just scoot along that way.
I am actually like, I'm maximizing my Google Calendar, and okay, so this is what happens on during this week. Okay, so this is how we're going to rearrange funds. My God, I'm talking about making your life even better, and you over here trying to ruin the podcast. Stop it. Behave yourself. Yes, I'm talking to you.
I mean, well, yes, and then that's you adulting. Those are adulting things.
I hate it.
I'm sorry.
It's bullshit.
I'm sorry.
How are you?
I'm okay. It's, you know, we're doing my final. I really have it. I think when I get back to work on Tuesday, I'm going to send them a YouTube link to a final countdown.
I feel like you have senioritis, and I love this for you.
Yeah, just whatever.
I mean, the new wave is not sticking at a job forever. Is, you know, job hopping.
Yeah.
So
I mean, I don't like job hopping because I feel like
it gives you a bad look.
Then you're all no, not even that. I don't feel about that. I feel like job hopping then never has you as the subject matter expert in the room, and I don't like feeling like the newbie.
True.
I like being Janelle knows what she's talking about. And if you're consistently job hopping, how are you getting to a level where you're the smartest person in the room. And my Scorpio Virgo self needs to be the smartest person in the room. Not even just
that. I feel like you need at least like 90 days at minimum. And that's like restrictive of minimums to like actually get acclimated into a new role.
Right.
So that's 90 days out of 365. And sometimes it takes more than that.
My new boss told me she's expecting 6 months for me to be acclimated. So that just that. So imagine your boss saying, I expect 6 months for you to be fully acclimated. It's yeah, it's a lot going on. I'm excited, though, with something new. Like, I didn't realize how long I had been sitting in this role just because, again, when you're a subject matter expert, things are easy. And I had always had like these deadlines of when I wanted to move on. And then, you know, the second child came along. So I'm excited. I'm definitely on my final countdown stuff. I really wanted to take complete next week off, but I felt like that was rude. So.
I mean.
It is what it is. It is what it ain't.
Nothing. I mean.
I did take Monday off, though.
I mean. They could always have me, the type of employee who quits from their bed. Effective immediately, I no longer work here. So.
Well, that's also because you knew how they do people. You were like, I see you. We see each other.
Oh, my God. You know what?
That was a story.
Perfect transition into what we are watching this week. So I know you put down Poker Face, so. Don't spoil it because it's on my list, but I was waiting for the hype to die down before I watch it. So
it's really, I've only watched the first two episodes. They're longer episodes. I think they're like an hour and a half, maybe.
Okay.
An hour and 45 minutes. So they're longer episodes. I've only watched the first two. It's like a, I wouldn't say it's a procedural crime drama, but it's every episode has a different crime, but there's an overall crime going on, if that makes sense, which I cool. like. I like it's when like, there's like an overall situation. Where
it's like Supernatural where you had like a baddie a week, but like you're deep, like you're leading up to Lucifer or like Dick Roman or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I like her. Like I told you when I was watching it, I was like, her voice reminds me of a white Whoopi Goldberg. I was like, where have I heard this voice before? And I was like, oh my God, it's Whoopi. Other than that, this week has been really, just because I'm transitioning between the two roles. So this week has been really exhausting and I've been passing out every night. So I haven't really done any. Oh, I did though. I got the Woobles Learn a Crochet kit. Look. His name is Fred the Dinosaur.
Aww.
But also because I'm not on my drugs, we'll see how long it actually takes me to complete it.
That's always like, damn.
Yeah, yeah. How have you been? I saw you were updating and editing and doing all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, I was like, it's getting kind of crowded on our, like, our sheet. So let's kind of organize this some sort of way as well as update things. So I'm watching Psych from the beginning.
Okay.
Yeah. Like I've watched like episodes here and there, but I've never really kept along with the story. And it has all my favorite people. So, well, not all my favorite people, like three of my favorite people.
That first season is so rough and I have not been, which is weird because I watched the first couple of seasons while it was on USA.
But streaming it,
but trying to watch it again, it's hard.
It totally is. It's a slog. I'm not gonna lie, because like, I think like what Burn Notice did so well was Michael Weston like narrated what it was to be like a spy instead of giving you like a weird cutscene that's so completely obvious that he's looking at like what he's going to do. Like in Psych, what happens is like Sean Payton, like, oh, there's some weird writing in the corner and there's a cut, like, oh, sound effect that plays. and she's very obviously looking at it. And watching that back to back to back to back is a lot because it happens so much in an episode. And it's like, it's a plot device that works well in the first, in like in the pilot, because this is introducing you to the character. Maybe into the second episode, but past the third, all right, enough. I think you've
captured why I have it. I think I got up to maybe like the fourth episode and was like, I'm just gonna go watch something else.
I'm still in season one. His dad makes me
want to come to the screen. For you. That's because you're typically like a season every 2 days or some shit. So the fact that you're still in season one is a lot.
Also, like, I fell asleep during a couple of watches, so I had to go back and rewatch. So, like,
go back. If my body said it was time to take a nap, there was a reason for that, and I keep it pushing.
I'm watching Real Housewives of New Jersey because the new season is back. It's Margaret, Lord, she is stressful, and every episode she's becoming more and more unlikable. Like, like Heather, watching her on like Ultimate Girls Trip, she's becoming more and more pathetic as like the episodes go along, especially seeing how Salt Lake turned out. Margaret is just so like, you too old to be this unhappy. Like, you're too old. Please. Like, I'll give it to the grand dame. She's like, you know what? I know my age and I will not be getting out of character for none of y'all hoes.
Did you hear like the rumor that she cheated on the Black Bill Gates?
That's always been a rumor.
No, but now it's like a newer rumor. It was on like TikTok.
I didn't. I'm a bad person. But speaking of TikToks, if you are paying attention to our TikToks whenever this drops, I posted clips from the season 10 Real Housewives of Atlanta reunion because it's just so funny. It's quotable. It's just so good. It's scrumptious.
Where is your scooter?
Where is it? Where is your scooter? And like, Kim is so bewildered. Like, what is going on? I don't understand what's happening.
I think that's what we, because like nobody gives like iconic lines like Lanithia. No one. You're not getting a reunion that is funny, or and it's just, it's so, and I know Candy, you know, Candy is the money maker, all of that stuff, but Snorefest. She gonna threaten you and she gonna cry. That's what you're getting.
Nah, she headbutting somebody this season, apparently. But
as I said last week, and then she's gonna cry.
Oh, your injured son and your whole daughter. And like, I feel like season 10 walked so Potomac could run, because like, Sheree and Portia just being like, shut up. No, you shut up. We got joggers. September, spring, summer. That was all season 10. Oh my God.
I feel like with Potomac, it would be lighter if Candy Ass didn't. Because I feel like, anytime I'm like, all right, Candy Ass, you have me on your side. She just goes below the belt, and I feel like it ruins the version of a reunion.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. So, like, she'll make a good argument because, she went to school for journalism. She's a communicator. But, like, so she knows how to, like, she knows how to argue well. But because of that, she also knows where the line is and just always chooses to, like, hop over that shit.
And cries up. And then, this is colorism. Like, you weren't enunciating and articulating your mean words, like, 20 minutes ago. Girl, get out of here.
Oh, and now, if she don't if she doesn't trademark the cryangle, she moving backwards. She moving backwards. If she don't come out with a line of acute angle tissues already folded, bitch, she is moving the fuck backwards. You need to partner with Kleenex and get this shit popping.
Move back. Ain't that her song? Move back.
Isn't it Drive Back?
Drive Back.
I be knowing shit. That's for all my haters who keep calling me white girl. I be knowing black things.
Okay, now sing it.
you see how you sing it things too far? Because for the trivia show, I don't need to sing it. I just need to know it. All right? And to be honest, Chris Bassett ain't my cup of tea, so I'm not going to actually retain the lyrics of a love song about him.
You don't want him to make you some of his special food?
No, absolutely the fuck not. Like, you know what? Chris will be my homeboy, but as far as a sex symbol, it's not it for me. He not my cup of tea. She likes it, so I love it.
I don't know if he could be my homeboy, because I'd be like, bro, your wife is annoying as hell. Like, go get your
wife. Forget. I know how to disassociate. Irish goodbyes.
That whole episode with Candy Ass and Ashley Darby, you'd have just been there eating your food.
I would be the safari eating lettuce.
You'd be like Candy, like, wait, what's going on? Can you pass me that?
Chris, you want some hot honey? Yes, run that here.
Yeah, that would be you. That would definitely be you.
Or I would just be Eva in Ultimate Girls Trip, like the Ex-Wives Club, who just be in the back and be like, all right, I'm gonna sprinkle, and then be like, I gotta record the Ricky Smiley show real quick. Bye.
You're so weird. Is she still on the Ricky Smiley show?
I don't know. I don't keep track of her.
No. So what else have you been doing? Is that it? Is that it for your wrap up?
I'm listening to Pod Crushed. Penn Badgley's podcast.
Oh, okay.
I started with the Jarrell Jerome episode. He is our boy, our boo, my Dominican Libra king from the Bronx. He was in When They See Us in Moonlight. And, ooh.
Oh, such a good episode. I wasn't watching that. Okay.
Yes. We said this last week.
Yeah,
but he's just like, his story is just so good, and it's such a New York story, just being like, yo, I don't really want to go to Erasmus, that's not the school, but just to paint the picture for, people, I don't really want to go to Erasmus, I want to go to a good school, and he applied to all the performing arts schools, and got into LaGuardia, and the rest, it's history.
My mommy said I couldn't go to a performing arts school because performing arts school don't make money.
I applied and didn't get in, so there we go.
Woo woo woo.
I could have been, the next, I don't really know. I wasn't being Timothée Chalamet or Lady Gaga. It would be Black Aubrey Plaza meets female but black Jason Mantzoukas.
I
feel like, you know what? That is, when you do the math, that makes sense. And I don't know if those programs could have handled a black RB Plaza Jason Mantzoukas situation.
Whatever you gotta, you know, you do to make yourself leave at night.
You want me to shuck and jive until I get to where I'm Yo, I've been catching people with the shuck and jive all week, and it's an oldie but a goodie. What? You want me to do this labor? You want me to shuck and jive for the man? Maybe I'll send the email myself. Yeah, you damn right you will.
Yo, you're that awkward black, like, we really want to go ask her anything? She might make these weird racist jokes that I gotta laugh at.
No. My coworker, another black woman, will straight up say, this is slavery. So, which one do you want?
You want when shuck I and used jive? To log into, when I used to work at the call center, and I would put my numbers in to log in, I would sing Wade in the Water. God's going to trouble the world.
Oh, damn. Oh, I will always do the Cartman. Days never finish. Master got me working. Someday master's gonna be free.
So into this episode.
Woohoo! All right. So we are on season 2, episode 16, Murphy's Luck. The original air date was March 30th, 2000. The writer for this episode is David Simpkins. We're halfway through his scripts. You can get his full credits in season 2, episode 4, The Devil's Music. This episode was directed by John Baring. His full credits are in season 1, episode 16, which Prue is it anyway? The guest stars this week, we have Kent Falcon, 71 credits, including Sliders, Men in Black, and Girlfriend, so that should let you know who that is.
Mm-hmm.
We have Amy Adams. I mean,
he is aged quite nicely.
I mean,
hello.
He was a girlfriend. Sorry. This episode also guest stars Amy Adams, who has 67 credits, including American Hustle, which she won a Golden Globe for. She's she's one of those actors that you think has an Oscar until you Google it and be like, damn, why this bitch don't got an Oscar? Also, my personal favorite, The Wedding Date, and she was also in an episode of The West Wing. And last but certainly not
least, Enchanted?
I mean, I like Enchanted, but I love The Wedding Date more.
I guess.
I mean,
continue.
You know, all right, fine, Enchanted with Dr. McDreamy and Idina Menzel. And last but not least, our boo, our love, the man, one of the men who let me know that, like, yo, not just black men. Okay. All right. All right. Okay. Arnold Vosloo with 86 credits, including The Mummy and its sequel, proving my point that they had access to the Mummy script for that horrible ass episode.
Mm-hmm.
We've also seen him in Grimm and Alias.
Is he in Grimm? Fuck, I definitely have to add that to my watch list now. God, yep. That man is fun. Woo. Okay.
So, a light trivia day. This episode introduces 4 and 5 magazine, which starts Prue's photography career. This is the second car accident Prue has had in as many seasons. This is also used in Buffy, which Amy Adams also guest starred in. Yay!
Mm.
And Daryl says, oh, sorry. When Daryl says Maggie Murphy's description of an angel that saved her bears no resemblance to Della Reese, they were intentionally being funny. Which, why would you pick Della Reese? Like, Roma Downey's right there.
He's black.
I mean, I guess.
I mean, but for the longest time, I thought the mom was Roma Downey, so there's that.
Oh, not tr actual trivia for this episode, but like trivia from like our pilot episode. So remember in our pilot episode, we kept making jokes that they couldn't afford Ouija.
Yep.
Holly confirmed it.
Oh.
Yeah, she was like, you were talking about something else, and to like spirit board, we couldn't afford Ouija, all right? Stop saying that
That makes
shit.
sense. Yep, that makes sense. Mattel was like, I wish you would, bitches.
So, like, you
I wish
know, all our combined years of watching television lets us know some of the inside tea without actually knowing the inside tea. Ooh, I forked up. What are your initial thoughts for this episode?
My boy Dan. Dan. I was just I don't even know like how to put it in words. I was just underwhelmed by that whole Theresa. I'm over it. I'm ready to move on. Let's give that man a woman who will love him and desire him. 'Cause I'm over it. I'm over it. Other than that, I kind of thought it was an under Well, it had plot holes, or I feel like things that just weren't mentioned. So I was underwhelmed by the episode.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. So my initial thoughts were like, okay, this cast is pretty stacked because we have like Amy Adams from who's like Amy Adams, and we have Arnold, so like, and he's in between franchises because yeah, I think Mummy comes out in 99. This is a 2000 episode. And then Mummy 2 comes out in 2001. So you're getting like some pretty profile actors or people like on the rise. And I feel like they would have done more with what they had. And I was hoping that they did. But ultimately, this
Right.
episode, it was super fast.
Yes.
And I feel that like a lot of things were left on the cutting room floor. And slash, what a missed opportunity to talk about mental health awareness.
I wonder if there was, like, when it first played, it was like, you know how they have those suicide hotline numbers at the end of some of these episodes
They
nowadays?
definitely
I wonder
didn't.
if they
You
did
had
that. Oh, okay.
the DVD. I feel like they would have put that in the DVD.
If you or anybody you know feels like jumping off of a bridge, have them call this number.
I feel like if this episode had aired 6 to 8 years later, yes, it would have had that suicide hotline. But they were just like, it's a 2000 baby. Let's go wild.
So yeah, those are my thoughts. I just and I feel like if you have Arnold, why not make him like an overall arching villain for the rest of the season
Because we all
versus
get Zanku in like 14 years.
yeah. Okay, into the
You know, so the Peacock synopsis is a dark light that sabotages a woman's daily life, leading her to consider drastic measures. All right. Very vague, very half-assed, but whatever. The IMDb summary is, after proof prevents a woman named Maggie Murphy from committing suicide, a darklighter curses her, throwing her into a depression that can cost her her life. And bringing it home with the DVD, when Prue rescues a woman who has been driven to attempt suicide by a Darklighter, she finds herself his next tormented victim. And before you go into the summary, since we're switching up the format, last but not least, after the credits, I had In the Rain by Ron Allen Cohen, and you had Lucky by Biff Naked. Now, summary me, baby.
All right. So, in the last couple of weeks, Prue has amassed a portfolio on her non-digital camera and is ready to take it to a magazine. So we're now in some conference room in a magazine setting, talking to the magazine editor. His name is Gil Corso. And he's ready to, he's like, you know, these are amazing. We kind of do digital, but she's like, I got whatever you need, baby. And he says, as long as you...
Prue was thinking long-term. Because I know a photographer, but I don't know them. I know of them who charges like $13,000 just for wedding day photos, and all they do is shoot on film. So you know what?
I hear that.
Prue knows her worth.
So he was willing to hire her on the condition that she goes and gets a shot of Maggie Murphy because they're running some sort of, you know, profile on her. She's this amazing person who does all these amazing things, but around 3 months ago she became very, very unlucky and accident prone. And Prue was like, I got you, baby, this will be easy. And in my head I thought about this, I was like, we just gonna have Prue roll up to Maggie Murphy's house without Maggie knowing that she's coming, because he also said it had to happen by end of day. So Maggie don't even know that Prue is coming. And her entire like job assignment or her job condition is based on the fact that she shoots this woman.
Well, I think if she's being driven to suicide, she just don't care. Because I feel like he said, you need to get me a better photo. So they already got the photo of Maggie. They just didn't like it. So she had to have known that there was a possibility that another photographer or a photographer was gonna come. She just was like, goodbye, cruel world. I'm ready to end it all. I don't care. Here's a photo you got.
I don't know. This man just rubbed me the wrong way, because he was like, if you can't get the photos, don't bother to come back. Who the fuck you know? This is Prue Halliwell. Who are you talking to?
I mean, I was annoyed. You're right. You're absolutely right. But also, you know, last week they were talking about how bad and how hard it is to be a photographer in this world, in this society. So,
as a woman, right?
Yeah. So, yeah. Just driving the point home.
So our next scene, we see her at Maggie's apartment building, and we see that Maggie is on top of the roof. She is chilling, walking towards, you know, getting ready to like fly off. And I wrote here, a Knox in the Moon.
Nah.
you look get closer, and behind her there's a sky, and he's hot, and he's sitting like, he's fully dressed in like a black suit, and he's whispering, but it's not like sweet nothings in her ear. He's like, whatever happened to your brother, that was your fault. Everything that happens to the people that you love, it's on you. I was like, God damn. Like, Jesus Christ. And then he tells her, all the bad things that happen, you can only end it by crashing to your death. And she was like, oh, okay.
I was like, you know what? That's honestly...
mental health.
It's mental health because... I mean, we'll get into it as we go further into the episode. But, like, as somebody who suffers from depression, you always, like, you know, jumping in front of this train would just end it all right now.
Yeah, yeah. That's them thoughts.
Them thoughts are always there. And you just go, you know what? Reel it back, reel it back, reel it back, reel it back. So, like, obviously, get help. But, like, it's so insidious because... once we learn like everything that Maggie has gone through, it's really hard to feel like she wouldn't feel this way. And these aren't genuine thoughts that she has.
Yeah, Which is why I don't understand why we need to get a photo op. Like, this woman is going through some shit. And the only thing this magazine is thinking is that they need to get a photo op. Like, you're a piece of shit. You are a trash human being. So just as she's about to jump, though, Prue does her astral projection, which I feel like over the last couple of weeks, she's starting to get a handle on it. She does astral projection. She appears behind Maggie because now the guy in the black suit has disappeared. And she tried to talk Maggie down, but Maggie's foot slips and Prue tries to grab her hand. And she's like, just let me go. Just don't waste your energy on me. Just don't do it. And she slides out of Prue's hand. Prue brings her astral self back into her real self and does. Also, can I just say there was a crowd forming?
Oh, baby,
on the street.
The amount of times magic was exposed in this episode. Oh, baby.
Oh my god. So when Prue astral projects herself back into her body, she uses her powers to like push Maggie's falling body to hit the awning and bounce off onto the floor. So Maggie doesn't die, doesn't break a clavicle, a foot, a bone, nothing. She lands on the ground unharmed. And I'm like, nobody saw this woman, instead of going straight down, slide to the left.
Like even if it was wind, how come nobody else didn't feel the wind?
And what kind of wind pushes a body that far?
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, what's going on here? Hello?
And Maggie, like, looks up at her like, I know you did something. Because none of this, A don't equal C to D to E to F. And Prue's like, I gotta fade into the background. And she, like, fades into the rest of the crowd. So now we are at P3, and I don't know, this scene kind of annoyed me. So Piper wants to tell Dan that she has chosen Leo. So it's Piper and Phoebe, and Phoebe's like, aren't you supposed to be at P3? And the very first thing she brings up is like, yeah, I know I'm supposed to be, but I have to break off with Dan, but I don't know how to. And Phoebe says that their only issue, when she says there, meaning Piper and Dan, was the fact that she was endlessly in love with Leo. Basically saying, like, Dan was a good guy, and it's Leo. Which annoyed me, because I'm so sick of hearing about this shit. Like, you've made your bed, now lay in it.
Like,
so now we're at the police station, and the very first thing I thought was... I was
going to say that, like, there is just a shout-out, you know, the people, them. There was like a comment on our TikTok page that was like, I had posted a video of like, we're tired of hearing about Dan and Leo, blah, 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 blah. And they were like, Dan had his own house. Dan had his own money. Like, why would we go with Leo? And like, to that commenter, we're all on your side. Like, bruh. Leo is a scrub. He is a bum. He is a waste man. He literally comes from the generation where men were nothing but providers. And now he's sleeping on boxes.
Oh, man. Not for long.
He's a bum.
He moving on up to the east side.
Like, he's a fucking loser. And, oh, it breaks my heart that she chose that. But it has been episode after episode after episode of us just being disgusted.
Yep, that's why I'm not even engaging.
We'll continue. I just wanted to shout out, you know, people who respond on our TikToks real quick.
So the next scene, we're at the police station, and Maggie is telling Daryl that this angel has saved her. And the very first thing I thought was, this woman, it looks like this woman has jumped off a rooftop. Why is she... a psycho, like, why is she not in grippy spots?
She finna be. Daryl definitely says that
she's finna be, but why would we take her to the police station for, like, why are we not questioning her in the psych ward? Why is she at the police station bothering Daryl?
Because the police precinct will be less chaotic than the psych hold.
Maggie's afraid to go deeper into the police station because she's afraid that the guns in the police station will go off. And she's talking about hearing all of these voices in her head. And she's talking about... And the moment she talks about this angel that saved her, and he was like, and she gives the description, Daryl was already like, these girls can't leave well the fuck alone. They are always, like, the look on his face was like, these girls are always making my job difficult. He automatically knew who she was talking about.
Yeah.
Piper comes home, tells the girls she gets the job, doesn't tell them that it was conditional on the fact that they had to get, that she had to get the picture from Maggie, but she does fill them in on exactly what happens when she does go to get the photo from Maggie. And then she starts beating herself about, like, what happens, you know, like, if she had arrived too late, if she was a moment too late, you know, like, the girl would have been...
Splat.
Dead.
No.
And Phoebe tells her that she was supposed to be there, like, right time, right place. And at this point, Daryl calls Prue and confirms that she was the angel. While she's talking to Daryl, though, Phoebe don't have no fucking manners. You don't see him on the fucking phone?
Girl.
Did her grandmother not teach her no manners? I am on the phone.
Well, As we learn later on in this fucking episode, Grams had Prue raising these girls, okay? All right. She was quote unquote strict, but Prue had to raise us. Okay.
Right.
Sounds like abuse. That sounds like abuse. That sounds like Grams was a narcissist who only came through to discipline, but Prue was the one making meals, but continue.
Prue lived her life as the eldest Caribbean sister in a strict religious family. So Daryl's on the phone with Prue, Maggie's just knocking shit over. She burnt up a cord because she got water on it. And Daryl's like, stay away from police station because I don't need her identifying who you are. And she's like, okay. And the moment they get off the phone, she's like, I gotta go to the police station. And Phoebe goes, I'll come because I took psych classes. And in my head, I was like, you took one fucking class. What are you going to help
me with? You took 100. You didn't even say 101. Get out of here. Get the fuck out of here.
So finally, we're at P3, and Piper and Leo are looking over this, like, shipment of Swizzle sticks because there's just so fucking many. And as Piper's looking over the shipment of Swizzle sticks, Leo was looking at her legs. And I wrote down... I mean, it explains itself later on in this scene, but I wrote down, do you think she waited to tell Dan before banging Leo? Like, I know they say that they don't, but I don't know, because Leo don't want to sleep on cardboard boxes anymore.
Nah, I feel that, like, Piper has real, I can't believe I'm a cheater energy, so she wouldn't.
Okay.
You know some girls ain't built for that cheating life.
Yep. Piper finally tells Leo that he's the one that she wants to be with. That's where her heart lies. I'm so over it. And Leo is happy about the situation, but he's like, I feel like you're kind of mad at me. And she's like, it's not the fact that I'm mad at you. She's like, where everything lies, I still haven't had a chance to tell Dan. And I know that Dan's going to be upset when he finds out, like, after all of this time and all this gaslighting,
right?
It really is Leo. And then they kiss, and I wrote down, so just fuck Dan, huh?
So, like, my real issue with this shit right here is, girl. Leo never gave you no space. He never gave you no space to actually know what life was like without him. The minute he quote unquote,
he did until she got a man.
The minute he
was perfectly fine popping around until she got a man.
Exactly. One. Two, the moment he clipped his wings for her, because that's complete bullshit. That was a punishment. That wasn't, that was a, Like, let's not spin it. Okay, in the roundabout way, yes, he clipped his wings for her. But it was a punishment for saving her.
Yeah, yeah.
But whatever. Like, outside of that, and then he was like, hey, yo, I'm homeless, so, like, could you give me a place to stay? Meanwhile, Dan was right there. I bet you had Leo had a friend, or I don't know, gone to like Sam's abandoned shack because that lady dead and Sam's dead. You know, and left him alone for a good 6 months. Dan would have been perfect. But like, the fuck boy with good penis that he is, that homosexual planted roots. Disgusting. But continue.
So now we're back in the police station. The dark lighter, so now we know he's a dark lighter. He has slipped into the police station and he glamours into a cop. And I was going to make a comment here, but I'm not.
I'm going to just say I was picking up what you putting down every time I watched this episode because I was just like,
Yep. So Prue and Phoebe also enter the police station and they're just seeing all these things that are happening to Maggie and all these disasters that are happening around Maggie. And they're having a full-blown conversation on how they can help her using magic in the middle of the police station. Like, girl, what is you doing? And so Phoebe's telling her, like, you want to cast a spell? Just catch it. Just cast it from your heart. You can do it. Heart.
I feel like this was Phoebe being selfish, and here's why. She was like, if any personal gain is going to happen, it's not going to be on me. No, thank you. You can cast a little spell. I believe the reason why you want to cast a spell is justified, but I don't really know. It's too gray. The personal gain is too murky. I don't really know. So you do it from your heart. I'm gonna stay over here and make sure I don't get fucked up.
She casts a fucking spell. Spell gets cast. Mm-hmm. I wrote, oh, so she gets special effects? Cause she opens up her hand and like these two little orbs go to Maggie, and you see Maggie like automatically start to like feel lighter and feel better about herself. Daryl goes and almost slips on the water and she catches Daryl. And in my head, I was like, this man had a fully set up workers' comp case. This isn't luck. This man has a workers' comp case in the bag. And you
And like, knowing what I know about PD comp time, he would have been out for a month paid. And ain't nothing like stealing time like a black man. So, like, fucking selfish bitches.
However, the dark lighter was not impressed. He was like, I want to take her out, and you are not stopping me from taking this chick out. So, I'm going to curse you. And as Phoebe and Prue are walking out of the police station, he puts a little hex on Prue. And I was like, oh, he gets special effects too. We got money this episode.
And I feel that, like, again, this would have been such a good mental health episode had they really, like, played into it. And the special effects are purely there to show the mental health of it all.
So they're sitting in her car and they're just like, she's so excited about how great the spell is. But nobody's checking the mirrors. Nobody's checking side view. Nobody's checking rear view.
This was definitely so your place to back- shine. Because I was like, I'm a non-driving ass passenger princess. You gonna let me know what Prue did really wrong here.
I mean, she didn't... It's weird, though, because while she didn't check the mirror, she was almost fully backed out when that cop car hit her. Mm-hmm. And I would have passed out, too. Okay? Somebody's paying my medical bills. I'm getting money.
From my point of view, it looked like the cop was at fault because her ass was like a lot of the way out. She was out
of the, yeah, she was already out of the parking space. So I, in my head, I mean, I'm with Prue. I wouldn't think that something bad is happening to me. I would just think that the cop wasn't paying no attention, and I would have rolled out the car. Like, we're going to live off this city, okay?
I was also like, damn, Phoebe, look at you selling this shit, because I don't really think he hit you that hard. You over here like, like, shit, okay.
She was knocked out.
That is so fucking rude, but like, I'm so happy we don't have camera. But like, oh man.
But it wasn't that bad because they pop up at P3 like a couple of hours later.
They didn't even they definitely
Where's your neck brace? Why she happened? Y'all got hit by a cop car. Why are you not in a neck brace?
Not even just that, like, sis, why didn't we get the scene with her with Prue in the hospital continuing to beat herself up? Like, damn, oh man. Because, and we'll get to that scene later, that would have been a perfect setup for what happened later. But you know, there's so much that ended up on the cutting room floor, and I hate it. I hate it so much.
So we find out that Phoebe has a minor concussion. Man, these girl, I would have been rich. That house would have been fully paid off. All them loans they took against that house would have been paid. Yeah. But no, I guess we're gonna be, you know, we're gonna be good girls or whatever like that. And so Prue ends up feeling, she like knocks off a bunch of the swizzle sticks and they're like, what's wrong with you? And then Mr. Corso calls and doesn't even want to hear about the fact that Maggie was about to commit suicide and that's why she didn't get the photo. I'm like,
so real shit, being in the industry, I'm gonna be real with you. I know some clients that deadass would start screaming at you off rip and then be like, so what happened? Well, Maggie Murphy's now on a 72-hour hold because she's trying to kill herself. I don't know what I could have done to prevent that, but let's see if you want to pivot. Like, it's not as far-fetched as people want to think that this scene is. That's all I'm going to say.
So Leo is pressing Piper on the fact that she needs to go talk to Dan. And when is it going to happen? Like, aren't you supposed to be, like, the good person, the good guy, the angel?
Because he's not a good guy. He's a fucking bum. He's a fucking bum.
Dan will be out of town for a week, and Leo is telling her, do you know how long I've been waiting for this? I've been waiting for you for so long. No, because you've only really been wearing this since you're not a white lighter. What are you talking about?
Because like the master manipulator that he is, he thought, oh, I broke the rules for you and got my wings clipped, so you gonna pass up that pussy immediately.
That's exactly what it sounds like. Immediately. Like, I just told you 25 minutes ago that I'm breaking up with Dan, who has all this money and a job and a house for you, and now you're trying to rush me on when I'm gonna tell him. If you don't get out of my ever loving,
over here like, oh, face. She got a week to come to her senses, and that can't happen. That absolutely cannot happen. And I wish it did. I really wish it did, because a scrub is a guy who thinks he's wise. Also known as a Leo. Always talking about what he wants. But this is on his broke ass on crates. So, no. Sorry. Continue.
Okay. So, they're going to leave. Phoebe and Prue are going to leave. And as they're leaving, Prue knocks over a tray full of glasses. Piper freezes it. Prue decides to let Phoebe drive this time so they don't get any more accidents on a rental car. And then as they leave, Prue is just like, fuck. Piper's just like, whatever. And she lets the glasses crash to the floor. Leo is being, I guess, helpful. And he's like, oh, I've heard about Maggie. You know, I watched some TV and she came up a couple times. And it's just really strange because she was doing all of these great deeds. And now all of a sudden, like, these horrible things are happening to her. He does say that he suspects that what's happening to her is in an accident, and he thinks that there's a dark ladder after her. And I was like, oh, look at you being useful for once. Yeah.
I mean, well, when Prue first enters the scene, he's like, Maggie Murphy, holy shit. Oh shit. Look at you.
The way he inserted himself, I was like, he's just annoying.
Because
me.
He was definitely at, like, you know, P3 got a TV in the back and he was watching like ABC 7. Coming up next, the unluckiest woman in San Francisco, Maggie Murphy. And he sat there and watched that whole segment.
What else he gonna do? He don't got nothing to do. Man, I'm gonna have to take a break when the season's over because I'm just so annoyed. I'm annoyed. I don't remember it going down this bad the first time, and I'm need to take a break because I'm
looking at it with like seasoned eyes. We are looking at it as two women who have watched other women be scarred and has also have some scars on themselves. It's like, oh no.
I'm disgusted. Grams wouldn't want this. Grams would have been like, no money, no honey. Or was that just my grandmother? Like, no, what the hell?
That was definitely Grams. Grams didn't have all those husbands to like not know how to bag a man with money.
So we are now in the psych ward. Maggie has gotten locked down. She's on a 72-hour hold. But she seems to be blending in really well with the other mentally challenged people.
She was like, I once was where you were about an hour ago, actually. But miraculously, I feel better. So I'm going to tell you how to make your life better. All right?
Yeah. It was okay. And when Prue and Phoebe walk in, this doctor shows up, and guys, it's obviously a dark ladder. But the doctor shows up, and first of all, why are you giving out all this information? Whatever happened confidentiality?
I honestly feel that like Prue was like, "Oh yeah, I'm doing a whole thing on Maggie Murphy," and he was just like, "All right, let me tell you the tea."
He's like, the pain's not going away. She's going to be in this deep, dark place forever. Like, we never know when she's going to snap back. And Phoebe was like, that's not what I remember in school.
And it's also like, it's grief. We learned that, like, Maggie had a part in her brother's death. And I don't really think that, like, her being depressed over that is going to go away. So he's actually quite right. I'm sorry. Like, one, your brother's dead. Two, it's kind of your fault. So live with that for as long as you, like, actually live.
The doctor's like, okay. I feel like he went to, like, pat her on the head, like, okay.
Oh, you seem dumb.
Right. So they go up to Maggie and they start having conversations. They, you know, Prue and Phoebe have introduced themselves. She's like, oh my God, are you the angel? And I thought, like, I understand Prue is trying to get this job, but like, we really taking pictures of this girl in the cycle.
Honestly, that should be a HIPAA violation. That really should be the HIPAA violation, if I'm being honest, because like, ma'am, like, how be sure, like, we, how we, like, you have other patients there. And also, and as she's wearing her fuzzy pictures, socks.
I mean, with them grippy socks, I'm mad comfortable. Like, every time I go to the hospital, I'll be like, can I get some grippy socks? I mean, this bill could be mad exorbitant. I might as well get some grippy socks with it, right?
Yeah. I've been making friends with, like, everybody on the floor and being like, it's me, the person who made you laugh that one time. Can I get some free shit, please? Thank you.
And then, like, as Prue is taking the pictures, Phoebe's like, well, I'm in psychology, and I just wanted to know why you tried to jump. Didn't this man just tell you 45 seconds ago that she's in a deep, dark place. And you're like, and you don't know what going to trigger her back. And you're like, well, for my class.
You know what's funny? Okay, so if Phoebe was like, what is she? If Prue's 28 now, if Phoebe was maybe 5 years younger, that scene would have been more, it would have been funnier. Like, intentionally, instead of it being like, oh, you dumb bitch, funny. Because Phoebe's doing that classic thing where, like, when you go to college, you're 18 years old, 18, 19, you've taken Psych 101 or 100, and it's opened your eyes to so much shit. And then you come back home, and you're like, oh, wow, this is narcissism at play, at work right now. And you just start, like, self-diagnosing everybody around you, and it's just like, bitch, if you don't, we get it. You went to your university, and you know everything. Shut the fuck up. But Phoebe's, right, like, 23, 24, and it's like, I want to be proud of you because you're doing this, and you're going back to school. But, like, do this shit quietly like everybody else who goes back to school in their 20s.
Time and place. Time and place. So Prue ends up checking her pictures. The pictures look really good. Maggie does respond to Phoebe and says, you know, she hears voices in her head and she thinks that she's cursed. And Prue's like, fuck that. I got bills to pay. I'm going to fuck if you curse. Like, these photos got to go right to this magazine. Curse or not. And Phoebe's, do you mind if I stay with you and, like, you know, get to know you more? I don't know. It's just, it's weird. This woman's on a psycho because she tried to kill herself. And you talking about, can you tell me more for my psych class? Because I'm in psychology. Get out of my face.
Do you have a paper? Because that's the only way that this would be acceptable. This is the only way I'm letting you, like, live. By asking me these stupid ass questions. You want a paper due in like the next week or two? Oh, you don't? Get the fuck out my face.
So we're in the attic and it's Piper and Leo. And they're going through the Book of Shadows. Piper makes a mention that she knows that there's a section on dark lighters at some point in the book. And Leo's like, oh, we should really index this. Which is funny because it gets indexed later.
And they hate it. Ha 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 ha.
The phone rings and Piper thinks it's Prue, and so she answers as such, but it's really Dan. And he asks her if she misses him, and she says no, and then blames the cat for being not focused on Dan.
You know what? Not everybody can be me, because the answer is always no. I didn't miss you. You didn't give me a chance to. And I stand firm on that. Piper's a pussy. That's why she blamed the cat. But.
So he even says, like, I feel like you were going to tell me something, but don't want to say, or didn't want to say anything because I was going on a trip and didn't want to ruin my trip. And the whole scene gets really, really awkward. She's like silent because she's like, what do you both say? Because she's right? Like,
yeah,
I can't say nothing. And he tells her, don't come get me at the airport.
You remember that scene in Insecure? We'll just have dinner
when I return.
You remember Insecure?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that airport shit is real. Derek's standing up. It's too late, but he's not really,
because he was like, when I get back, we'll go to dinner, which I think at that point he knows it's going to be a breakup dinner. I would disappear, I would be her next door neighbor and not say another word to her.
Like, I feel like this is Dan preparing himself to dump her instead of her dumping him, because that don't pick me up from the airport shit. I want to see you. Get the fuck out of my face. I need to protect my heart from what's about to happen.
So they get off the phone, and Leo does find an entry for the Spirit Killer, who's a dark lighter that drives people to suicide. So Prue gets the pictures over to the magazine, but when Corso goes to look at them, they're really grainy and they're unusable. Who the fuck was he yelling at, though? Like, I know you said that it's, like, part of the business. But who are you yelling at?
Fair. Fair. You're absolutely right. I don't tolerate that shit. But, like, there are people who act like that. And when they do, I look at the person who signs my check and be like, you handle that shit. Because if I do.
So he ends up firing Prue, tells her. Not only does he fire her, he's trying to get her blackballed from the industry because, like, oh, you wasted my time. What am I supposed to do with this? Blah, 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 blah. And he throws her out. And she's in the hallway and she's crying and the dark ladder appears and he's whispering horrible nothings in her ear, telling her that she's a fraud and all of these things. And I'm like, no, Prue, no.
Don't listen to him.
Right. Phoebe finally stops harassing Maggie and brings her little ass back to the house. And she is telling, she comes inside the house and Leo and Piper are telling her what they found out about the Darklighter. And they mentioned that because he drives these people who are essentially going to be new White Lighters to suicide, they can't become new White Lighters. And I wrote, so the elders are Catholics.
Yo. What's even more fucked up? Because, like, even under these circumstances, they can't be... Like, if we can prove our dark lighter pushed this person to suicide, they should still be able to become a white lighter.
Right, which is what... Phoebe had a point there. This isn't suicide. This is murder. Like, God, I hate that.
But they still chose that. They still chose it.
And also, too, again, here we go picking and choosing, right? Like, you knew that they were going to be... White lighters, why you didn't have another white lighter protecting them from the dark lighter? Because you've done that before.
You know.
But then if they go and commit suicide, then it's their fault. Get out of my face with your bullshit.
So white lighters. Phoebe, the elders are the villains of the series.
Yo! Phoebe tells the two of them that Maggie did say that she thought she was cursed. And as this is happening, Piper is trying to call Prue and Prue's cell phone isn't working. Like, they just can't get through to her. We find out that since Prue uncursed Maggie, the white lighter is coming after Prue because if he can get Prue to jump off a bridge, then the spell is broken and he can go after Maggie again.
So it's two for the price of one.
That's a lot of work. That's so much work. You can't move on to something else.
I feel like it is, but, like, if you think about it, you're getting rid of a witch with active powers and a potential white lighter. That's two goody points.
That is.
That's two goody points. So, like, I'm gonna go hard to kill this bitch. I'm gonna go hard to fucking paint.
That film role that we saw earlier in the episode, Phoebe ends up knocking it over. And she picks it up, and it's a vision of Prue crying over a bridge with a camera in her hand, and it's black and white, and Phoebe's like, oh my God, we gotta go get Prue. And it's a younger Prue, so it's not like Prue now, it's younger Prue. She has on, like, a bandana, and she's like, you're right, we have to go get Prue. Leo says that the dark lighter is gonna bring Prue back to whatever dark place that she has in her life, and the only way that we could find the dark lighter is to have a white lighter. And I was like,
We see how this is setting up.
Right. Like, what are you doing? Prue finally manages to call the house and Phoebe answers. While all this is happening, we find out that back in the day, Prue had run a red light, caused an accident, and had hurt Phoebe, which is why she was so upset previously when Phoebe had the bad concussion. But if she was really, really, like, heard about it, she would be suing the state. But that's just me. And we find out that because of that, Graham's nixed her plans to go study photojournalism at a college in the East and made her stay to take care of these kids. Like, Prue has, I mean, has Prue not suffered enough and as the like, eldest sister?
You see how easily Phoebe recalled that, like, oh, Prue wanted to go to back east, yada, yada, yada. But last week, it was like, oh, photography is hard. You sure you want to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Girl, is it Ushiwali or one mic? You knew that this was her dream. And, like, now all of a sudden, you can recall facts about how important this was to her.
So they finally get in contact with Prue on the phone, but her phone's not working. So whatever they're saying back and forth, they're not really picking up. Her car won't start, and she was like, you guys need to pick me up because my car won't start, but they're just not hearing what's going on. So she ends up getting out of the car and walking, and the spirit killer is behind her, again saying horrible, horrible shit. Piper and Lee are trying to figure out the best way to find Prue, and he's like, I want to help. And Piper's like, I don't need to worry about you getting stabbed in the back, bro. Which, as a white lighter, he was useless too. Piper and Phoebe decide that they're going to take a map and go to Maggie and see if, with Maggie's good luck, she can point out where Prue is. And that was the weirdest, strangest way to move this plot along. But okay. I mean, it if you're with it.
They got eight. This the next whole one. Day. They had it for the whole day, right? Just maximizing their fucking budget.
This next one I was really upset about because, like, goddamn, Prue. But she never brings it up again. So I'm like, if you're not mad about it, I'm not mad about it. And so Prue is walking from her car and the guy is still whispering horrible nothings in her ear. And a boy is on a skateboard and he tumbles. And before he, like, falls and hurt himself, she, you know, swats him away, but ends up because of her curse.
Well, no, remember, he was going to hit a baby. He was going to...
Right, he was going to hit a baby carriage.
Yeah. So she was like, I'm going to save him from hitting the baby. And then... He gets hit by an SUV. He gets sideswiped. He doesn't get, like, full-on hit.
I mean, but nobody wants to get hit by an SUV, and his leg is injured. And Prue is like, oh my God. And I was like, Jesus fucking Christ. Like, she's put her sister, knocked her sister unconscious by a car twice. Now she gets this little boy hit by an SUV. Like, Jesus fucking Christ.
Look, man.
And he tells her to run.
I would run too from that crime scene because I've also almost exposed magic again.
So we're back in the psych ward, and I just feel for a psych ward, there's a lot of allowing visitors at all times of the day.
After we finish recording, Phoebe, I'll ask Joe, like, the standard protocol on the 72 hold, because from what I know from watching Law and Order, it's no visitors for at least the first 24 hours. But, you know.
And I mean, and they just bring a contraband in here. They're like, oh yeah, come point at this map. They can get some Haluxifying Prue. She points at a map and they're like, oh, this is great. Thanks. And as this is happening, Leo is in the house like, like, you're so fucking useless.
Oh,
he's just walking around aimlessly.
I had responded to a stitched it or whatever, but I said on one of the recent TikToks I posted that Leo was always gonna get his job back. It was always like being a white lighter and the elders over Piper, because he was just like,
oh yeah,
oh,
just wait for a moment.
I don't want to be with her if that means killing her sister, but I really need these powers back, please. Right. You know, I'm supposed to help people, damn it. I can't do this. Because he didn't want to deal with grief pussy. That's what it was. That's exactly what it was. Prue would have died, and her pussy would have went shut.
As somebody, though, who has given out grief pussy, sometimes grief pussy is the best pussy.
Yo. You don't have to tell me twice.
Work for it.
That's what I'm saying.
He just didn't want to work for it.
Because he's a lazy fuck boy.
Gotta work for grief.
Do you know how hard? Isn't it, matter of fact, you don't even have to work that hard for grief pussy. You just have to be present, not annoying, and always got like a tissue or a snack. That's all you need.
Mm-hmm. So as that's happening, Prue don't really want to go to the bridge, but the dark lighter is like,
jump, pussy, jump.
You're all alone. Jump, pussy, jump. You by yourself. Ain't nobody with you. It has the nerve to tell her that Andy is dead because she had the opportunity to jump 8 years ago and ain't take it. What?
Yo. They let a person of color in the room and was like, yo, write the meanest shit you could ever think of. But make sure it gets cleared by WB. And that's where that line came from. That shit was ruthless.
I was like, yeah, I feel like if I was Prue, I might have jumped. I might have jumped. Because God damn.
He took the knife and was like, you dumb bitch.
So Leo has effectively gotten his powers back. You see his hands all glowing, and they're glowing so much that you can see the glow in his eyes. And he's like, and they're playing like, I wouldn't say choral music, but they're definitely playing like choir music in the background as he's getting his powers back. And I was like, all right, y'all doing too much. So wherever Maggie pointed on the map worked, Piper and Phoebe have reached that location and they see the bridge that Phoebe saw when she had her little flashback. And Prue is near the ledge and they're like yelling at her like, Prue, oh my God, this isn't you. But the Dark Lighter is like, nah, it's all your fault. It's all your fault. And they're like, no, don't listen to the Dark Lighter. And he's getting frustrated. He's like, bitch, if you don't jump so I can do other shit, like, I ain't got all day.
While we were watching this, Joe started singing Runaway Love. And and I feel that, like, had that song been around at that time, it would have ate. It would have ate in the scene, in the background.
So Piper and Phoebe are, and I can see it now, right? Because like Piper and Phoebe are like running up the hill yelling at Prue. Mm-hmm. And finally she turns around and sees a Dark Lighter and snaps back to her old self and like flings him across the road or across like little bridge or whatever like that. And he's looking at her like, that ain't going to stop me, bitch. Okay, I'm taking you out. I'm taking Maggie out. Fuck this shit.
Yo.
So he gets back up and Leo orbs in and the girls are like, what the fuck?
Because he, first of all, he, not only did he orb in, he was running and orbing. So like, how does that work? Like, was he running in the attic? And then they made him orb and then he was like, oh shit, I can't stop.
Do you remember like the old Wonder Woman when she would get her Wonder Woman clothes on and she was spinning? Was he doing that
now? He was just testing out. Yo, it was just like, it just didn't make any sense because we've never seen him run an orb ever again.
Look, he had a mission. If Prue dies, he was going to lose her to Dan, right? How he going to support that? He ain't got no...
You know Dan would have paid for the funeral. You know Dan would have paid for the funeral.
That's what I'm saying. It had nothing to do with the plume. If Prue died, who was paying for everything? He couldn't pay for shit. She would have had to marry Dan.
Yo.
Dan would have knocked down the wall that was separating their houses and turned that shit into a mini mansion.
Dan would have canceled his trip, came back home early. With a new necklace and flowers, being like,
and flowers.
This stone is to help with healing, to help you get through this grief. He would have came through with some real sensitive ass.
He would have been like, so I don't typically use my Mariner's money because I've been saving that for my little nest egg, but I'm going to pay. He was like, show me all y'all bills that y'all got since Prue was gone, and let me see what I can do. Girl. It had nothing to do with the poem. He knew that if Prue had died,
If Drew she died would have needed he another money maker. Ring, he'd have been like, I'm fucked. I'm fucked. She, I don't got no money. Like, I can't even chip in on the programs.
Where, oh, and, he said, I can't even afford Staples double-sided color.
Furthermore, had he been a white lighter, she wouldn't have died. So she would have blamed him too. Ooh. Our love wasn't worth. Oh, you know she would have hit him with our love wasn't worth losing Prue. And that would have been the final nail in the coffin.
So after he tackles homeboy, they argue a little bit and he's like, I gotta take him back. And he orbits him away. So I'm guessing this don't happen like immediately after the Darklighter gets orbited away, because the next scene, they are back at the house and they're looking at an old photo of the bridge. So whatever was on that film roll has now been developed. Mm-hmm. Prue don't tell these girls nothing about the fact that she had this little boy get hit by a car. Nothing. Like, none of this matters anymore. But Prue was like, while I was in a dark place at that time, I wasn't thinking about jumping. And again, here come Phoebe. I feel like, why Phoebe got to know everything? Like you said before, like she's the annoying little sister who just started psychology classes and everything she got to analyze. Like, get out of my face. Get out of my face. But Prue take, which is, it was a good photo, but Prue ends up taking the photo and throwing it into the fireplace, but produces the next issue of the magazine and her name's credited on it, and it's Maggie's photo. So she must have blurred out, because it's a white background, mm-hmm. but she blurred out everybody in the background.
Well, it's also like, it's the shape of the, like a four-leaf clover, and Maggie's in mm-hmm. the center. So mm-hmm. they were like, hey, we're going to do a tight zoom and crop the shit out of this. And they probably twist, like, they twisted it around me, like, oh, after she tried to kill herself and was saved by an angel, we're going to cut that whole part out. She decided to turn her life around during her 72-hour mandatory hold.
So the bell rings, and they're like, oh, my God, what if it's Ben back from his trip? Piper goes to open the door, and it's Leo. Yay. And Piper's like, why you ain't Orb in? And he was like, I don't know. If you were ready for me to start doing that again, if it was appropriate. So I rang the bell.
Whack.
Yeah. Leo says that, you know, becoming a white lighter again was something that he felt that he needed to do. And Piper tells him, even if you have your wings back, this is where I belong. And that they're going to try to find a way to be together somehow, some way. And then they hug and the scene ends.
All right, we're just going to skip over love interest chemistry because
you can clearly see how I feel about it.
We've been saying it for weeks. Y'all know what the vibes are. I don't really think there's anything I would tweak. I mean, sorry. I don't really think there's anything in this episode that I would really change in terms of conflict because the
conflict is so short.
The conflict is mental health, and like we needed more than.
And she got her 72-hour hold, right? So,
yeah, I think I would have just fleshed out Prue being, and I think we kind of got there. We just glossed over it because Piper's actually more worried about Prue and being in this dark place than Phoebe is, and Phoebe's just like. Prue's the strongest person we know. She would never like let a dark lighter do this. And that's when she gets the premonition of Prue back in the day. And I feel like if we had got a scene of Prue in the hospital when Phoebe got her got treated, or just like maybe another scene of like that past mm-hmm. trauma.
Yeah, it didn't hit
or really. Even like, oh, when the guy is like, I'm gonna ruin your reputation, if we had got like a flashback of like Graham's guilting Prue into skip, like not going to NYU or whatever and having to stay here, ooh, that would have been so much better. Ooh.
I just feel like we just got over Prue blaming herself for her mom's death. Like, if we really wanted to throw her over a ledge, why we just ain't go back there?
Right? There's so many things that Prue had to deal with as a child that she shouldn't have.
Jesus Christ.
Damn.
Justice for Prue.
Yeah. And I think that just lumps in, like, the tweaks we make to the episode. I'm ready to rate it, are you?
Yeah, let's go.
All right. So, I will be giving this episode 4 out of 10 Talkspace ads. Because, you know, if Talkspace was around, I feel that, like, you would have just seen a cab pass by with the ad in the background in this episode. Because it was needed. Prue needs a therapist.
Yeah. You tell me that the elders ain't got no witchy therapist, like a list of witchy therapists that she can talk to. Get out of here.
Absolutely I hate them. Prue needs to talk to somebody.
I'm going to give this 4 out of 10 collect calls. Justice for Dan.
You're right. Like, This episode went by really quickly, and
it did,
and not in a good way. It's very much like, oh, okay. And you had the talent to make it stronger. You had just, I feel like there's someone trying to cut it in the room floor that would have made this episode a lot better. But that's it.
That's it.
Some witches be hoes. Blessed be.
Blessed be.